Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue and purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You want to be real. You want to be empty. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Coming on today.
It's an honor and a blessing to be able to be here.
Amen.
With you guys today.
And how you doing, Chris?
Oh man, doing awesome. It's like almost 75 degrees in North Carolina. It's really cool.
I know. We feel like it's in, like it's Florida or something down here, man. It's just the weather.
Yeah.
It's really crazy, man. And we're used to it being, I mean, maybe about 2 years ago, we had like 2 or 3 feet of snow around this time of year, and now it's like 70 degrees, so go figure.
Oh, man. If we want to talk about the weather, I'm visiting family in North Dakota for the holidays, and there's like 4 to 5 inches of snow and 10 to 15 degrees.
Man. I know... You know, out towards California, they're getting snow. and on top of things. So they're actually getting our weather, and we're getting their weather. So it's kind of switched right now. But anyway, hopefully we get our cold weather back pretty soon. Who knows? But anyways, it's been awesome to have you on here, Casey, and getting to learn a little bit about you and how the Lord has used you doing his will and healing people and getting people saved. It's awesome to see a young man like you out here doing God's work. And when you don't see it very much nowadays, there's a lot of young people out here doing things that's not God's work, that's working for the other side, and they really don't understand God that much. But it's always a blessing to see people out here really doing his will and really showing, you know, people, you know, God is still alive. God is here. God is working. The New Testament didn't stop when the disciples died. You know, we're still doing the same thing. When the Holy Spirit was poured amongst the earth, it was poured amongst the earth forever. I mean, until Revelation comes, it's still here. Yeah. It's still working. People still getting raised from the dead. People still getting healed. I mean, God is still talking to people. Nothing's changed. And it's awesome. Like I said, it's awesome to see young fellows like you out here doing what Jesus told us to do. And it's just, you know, getting the young people interested in this. And actually, evangelism can be fun. And it can be exciting. And it's really exciting all the time. It's just, you know, it's just some of the religious, you know, people has made it boring, but it's not boring. It's actually fun. I mean, I'm sure the 12 disciples had fun every day out here praying for people and casting out demons and seeing the glories of God amongst the earth. I mean, I'm sure they enjoy that. And, you didn't see, all the times you saw the disciples fall asleep is when it was nighttime and they had a long day, but other times they was up and going ready for up and going, seeing what Jesus was going to do next. I mean, it was action-packed all the time when Jesus was walking on the water and he was, you know, praying for the sick, raising the dead, and, you know, sick people coming out of the top of roofs, being popped in front of him and all type of things. I mean, he had a lot of a lot of activity going on there, and it was real exciting. And we should have that excitement today in our ministries and have the excitement in our churches. And street ministry, the same thing. And like I've told everybody on the show before, when I first got into this, I didn't want the people on stage because I knew a lot of people on stage was fake. And I didn't want the fake thing. Yeah. I wanted the real thing. And how real can it be when you're on the street? It's all real, dude. Ain't no way out of that.
Yeah, it's all real.
And I'm going to go ahead, Casey, and let you start with your testimony.
Okay. All right, sounds good. First of all, my name is Casey Johnson. I'm 22 years old. And where I grew up is in North Dakota my entire life, pretty much, in a small town of about 3,500 people. And when I was probably around 5 years old, I had a really rough childhood. My mother was always sick. And she went through so many surgeries at her age, and she lived to be, I believe, 32 years old. She's always sick, and so she couldn't really take care of me as much as I needed to be taken care of at that age. And so my brother ended up taking care of me for the most part. And that kind of affects your childhood a little bit, because your brother, you need like a parental guidance. And a lot of the things that my mother had to go through were high risk. And so I remember almost on occasion of how many times that my mom had to come sit us, my brother and I both down and say, and she doesn't know if she's going to make it and that she loves us. And so from about 5 years old to about 11, that was like a consistent thing in my life. And so I was always a negative child. Like, if I didn't get my way, I'd be throwing a fit. And when I turned 11, my mom ended up going unconscious on the floor. And at this time, I was staying with my grandmother because sometimes I just get way out of hand and she had to come take me. And my grandma called my mother and there was no answer. And so she ended up going over there and she found my mom on the floor, unconscious. And she called the ambulance right away and took her to the hospital. And they ended up having to rush her out to a city about an hour away from where we were living at the time. And she ended up having to go through surgery. She had gastric bypass surgery done, which they have to open up your stomach for that. And bile ended up leaking into her liver. Like, that hole opened up, and no one was able to catch it. And it ended up poisoning her liver. And I remember this, like, clearly something that I can never forget. We had to make a decision to, like, she made it through surgery perfectly fine, but they didn't know if she was going to wake up at all. And so it got to a point to where we had to make a decision to take her off all the fluids and stuff. And I remember this clear as day, 11 years old, they disconnected all the machines, and then I just slowly watched the heart rate monitor go to a straight line. And at this point, I knew God was real. I was raised up in church. And I heard the stories about God healing people and that he still does. And I started asking God a healer. And nothing happened. And I ended up watching her die at 11 years old. And my brother ended up having to, like, take me off my mother's. Like, I didn't want her to leave. And I ended up pushing her away and just ran out of the ICU room. And I was, like, so angry. Because it seemed like everything got taken away from me. Because I had no father. He left when I was 3 months old. And so it just caused, like, a lot of anger in my heart, and I was an already angry child. And from that point on, about 2 weeks after, my grandmother ended up taking my brother and I in, and it was way too painful for me, and like I just didn't want to feel anymore. Like, I didn't want to feel joy or any of that. It was just too painful. And so I remember making this decision not to feel any emotion. And from that point on, it was like I was a stone. Like, I was like a statue. Like, I had hardly move when I'm standing up. Like, I wouldn't smile. I wouldn't laugh. And my grandmother got worried. And because I was always, like, talking and negative to, like, showing no emotion, not talking to anybody. And I wanted to commit suicide twice. And my childhood best friend, his dad was a pastor to our home church. And so, like, I was always brought up in church, and I look back, like, God used him for a huge portion of my life to help me get through, like, everything that I did. And things didn't start turning up until I was about 16. I just had, like, this black hole in my heart. Like, I can't really explain it. It was just, like, always there and always painful. Like, it would never go away. And I just do things to escape my reality. I never got into drugs or alcohol or any of that, which I'm grateful for. And when I was 16 years old, I decided to go on a missions trip to Chicago. And my reasons for that were completely wrong. I wanted to go see Chicago because I'd never been that far out of state. And why not go see it with my best friend? And so that was my whole reason of going. And the whole God provided money for that whole trip for me. And when I was there, God started getting a hold of my heart. And like about the second day in, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, like the first time that I had like a real encounter. And start speaking tongues, and I knew that God was doing something in my heart. I started getting like a passion for people, to talk to people about God, but I didn't know how to do it. And so I was going up to like all the leaders being like, I want to talk to people, but I don't know how. And they were like, just read your Bible, read your Bible. But it wasn't enough. And I clearly heard God tell me that he wanted me to be a missionary to the world and to go to Bible college. And from that point on, my whole life got changed around, like my whole personality, and did a 180 switch. And like when I got home, this was only a week-long trip, not even that. When I got home, like everyone noticed this huge change that God definitely got a hold of me. And like everything about me is different, and talk different. I just act different. And the pain of losing my mother, it was gone, but the knowing of it was still there, if that makes sense. Like, I still knew it, and probably still affects me now, but it doesn't, it doesn't hurt at all. And I have compassion for the people that have to go through that. Children shouldn't have to go through something like that. And so fast forward a little bit, graduated high school, ended up going to Bible college in Minneapolis, North Central University. It's an Assemblies of God Bible College. And I wanted to go for church planting, evangelism and church planting, so that's what I did. And I went there for a year and a half, and I'd go into this thing called Encounter. It'd be where we'd go out on Saturday night to, like, outside the strip clubs in Minneapolis, and it's packed. And we'd take a team down there, like, every Friday. No, it was every Friday, not Saturday. And we just go love on people, and I naturally assumed, like, a leadership role, kind of, like, out of everybody. Everyone was, like, so shy to go up to people and talk to them, but, and I knew that, and a lot of them would be scared because it was late, it was Minneapolis, they were afraid of getting mugged or something, but I just felt safe and naturally took, like, a role in that, and the main leadership there started noticing that, and so I always knew that I had a calling for evangelism. Like, it just seemed like a role I fit in. And when I was out there, something was missing, though. Like, the message I was saying, it just seemed powerless. And it was so dry. And I wasn't seeing these amazing stories that everyone else has. And I was like, what in the world? And it started discouraging me, and after a while, I ended up not even wanting to be in Bible college, and it got to a point to where I decided to quit, and I was trying to figure out, like, where I was going to go next in my life, and I was going to join the military, the Air Force, and I had to lose a lot of weight to join, and so I had to lose 50 pounds, and I thought, like, the only way my life's going to move forward is if I do this. And I ended up losing it all in 4 months. And I was about to sign the papers, but all of a sudden my foot started hurting. And I went to get that checked out, and I had an old fracture that never healed completely from wrestling from 8th grade. And which was weird because it never bothered me at all, ever. And I didn't even know I had it. And that, I instantly got disqualified from joining the Air Force until I got surgery on that thing. Well, it's never really hurt me ever since, so I just never did it. which I'm grateful for because that's not where God wanted me to be. And I ended up moving back to North Dakota and living on my own. And after quitting Bible college, I ended up becoming almost atheist-like. Like, I believed in God, but I didn't want anything to do with him, and I just didn't care anymore. And so I kind of just did my own thing for about, like, a year or so. And I just was going through, like, a huge depression. So I just didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I'd try to go through some things and be successful. And just wasn't, just made the depression worse. And through a series of events, God started getting me into college ministry again. And I ended up going to college for nursing for a little bit. And I started attending some regular meetings about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it started getting me, like, intrigued because, like, I heard, I knew about the gifts, but never openly practiced them with other believers. And it started getting me to ask some questions that nobody really asks. And what I've come to realize is that every Christian feels like there's this missing piece in their life. Like, they always say, like, there's got to be more to our relationship with God, that there's something more out there. And I started asking those questions. And people were content all around me with where it was. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Now, let's kind of go back there. You started with your testimony about, you know, having a hard life just growing up as a kid and your mother passing and all that very hard. I know biblically, you know, the Lord uses broken people and rebuilds them and makes them into stronger and more stronger people than normal people. And that's, you know, that's awesome how he took you from there, from you know, at your very wit's end, to making you into a stronger young man. That's just awesome there. But it's, you know, when you go through things like that, you know, you learn. I've actually found out that you learn things that some people don't. I mean, there can be thousands of people that there has went through that very same thing, and the Lord could use you to witness to those people that nobody else can.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people don't understand that. And one thing that I found out even on my walk, I went through some things myself, and I had this other minister lady said, she's like, well, I never went through that stuff. You know, I had this perfect childhood and all this and that. I said, yeah. I said, you know, it don't take long for you to get over stuff, but with somebody with a lot of stuff, it takes a little bit longer. And then the Lord comes and changes it just like that and uses you. But, you know, it's just so much. I mean, you see some of the best ministers out here that can touch a lot of people, kind of like Todd White. He went through a lot of things in his lifetime.
Yeah.
And look how the millions that he touches every day. And,
yeah.
And it's like there's a lot of hurting young folks out there. Young folks ain't being raised like they were, I'll say, 50 years ago. They got a little harder time nowadays. And somebody with a hurt message can really touch a lot of people and bless a lot of people with information to where the Lord can use your story to touch other people. But, yeah, that, and then you got into, you talking about you going to Bible school, and there's a lot of things that, you know, when people go to Bible school, it's just actually, you know, viewed to just teach. But a lot of these seminaries and stuff, they don't understand it themselves. So they try to teach people, you know, things that they don't really understand themselves. But the thing of it is, your spirit, the Holy Spirit in you knows the truth, whether they do or not. And a lot of them get pulled away. I really wish myself that they would actually pick up the Bible and really read it instead of just trying to teach something that they don't understand. But it'll bring more people in. And then, you know, when you're out in the street and trying to talk to people, They want to know the truth. They want something to save them.
Yeah.
And when they play that same thing, you know, it don't really draw them in. And, you know, when the truth is opened up in you, that's when other people see the light inside of you. And from that light is what draws them to the kingdom. And I'm going to stop right there and let you keep on, Casey.
Okay. Where was I at? There's all these missing pieces in our walk with God. And I started asking the questions of like, all right, why in scripture do we see all these experiences of people being healed instantly and by the apostles and Jesus, and how come we don't see them anymore, or at least on a scale of like a normal lifestyle? And I started asking those questions, and no matter what answer I got, I started getting like discontent with it. And basically, this was my last attempt at God. Like, if this wasn't real, I would have been completely done and completely abandoned him completely. Even if he wouldn't abandon me, I'd abandon him. And I started like really seeking after the reasons why, like the answers to my questions, and I realized nobody could answer them. No matter how many teachers I went to, they couldn't answer these questions that I was looking for. And at this time, I started watching Todd White, and he's like my model for a long time. I watched all of his videos, and all I knew is this guy saw miracles. He loved God. He had a relationship with him, and he had words of knowledge like no one I've ever seen before. And I was thinking, like, if he can do it, I can do it too, just as good as him. But, like, that was going through my mindset. And I basically told God is that I want this in my life. Like, if it's real, I want it. I want to see these things on a scale that's just like a lifestyle that is so normal that it can just be an everyday thing for me. And I just kept on watching videos, and I started getting motivated to actually talk to people and go out by myself and get through all the fear of approaching and asking if I could pray for people. But nothing would happen. Nothing would happen for a long time. But I just kept on watching these videos, and I remember I was watching the Normal Christian Lifestyle on YouTube. And there's this part where this guy was praying for 3 to 4 teenagers, and one of them got healed, and they all gave their lives to Christ. And I ended up breaking down in tears, not really like crying, but like my whole body was hurting. Like this was one of the most painful moments I've ever experienced. And I just threw myself down on the floor before God, and I told God, this is real. I have to have it. And I just spent some time with God. And after that, I know that was a huge, major turning point for me, because I didn't care what anyone else thought. Like, the desire to experience these things was so much greater than anything else. And at this time, I was going back to college, and that was probably the worst decision I've ever made. Because my focus started getting off of college, because I no longer cared about that. This is like the only thing I cared about. And nothing would happen, but I just kept on going after it. And everyone started noticing something was happening in my life. Because I was attending like a big church, and I was pretty well known there. And a lot of people saw this depressed guy all of a sudden going up to talking to people about Christ and asking to pray for him. So people started noticing like the progression of what was happening in my life. And it got to a point to where, like, my mind was starting to play tricks on me, because I'd see someone healed instantly of, like, a knee, and then the next knee would get healed, and so I'd ask myself, like, was that guy lying to me? Was it true, or was he just being nice and trying to get rid of me, and so he disagreed? And it was like that for quite some time, so I can completely realize how someone cannot believe in healing at all. Like, I've been there. I've asked those questions myself. I've asked a lot of questions. And I just think about, I knew it was real, and I knew miracles still happened. And all of a sudden, it started picking up a little bit more. And as I started hearing different ministers' teachings, I started just, like, changing my viewpoints on things a little bit. Like Dan Moeller, he's probably the guy that got me started really listening to, like, that kind of theology. And it just led me to, like, all these different ministers. And as I did that more and more, I started, like, understanding, like, started renewing my mind to it. And it started making sense to me. And I would, like, look up, like, why doesn't healing happen? Why doesn't healing happen for me? How can I operate in it? How can I walk in it? And I probably spent over hundreds of hours just listening to teachings. And
hey, let me ask you a question right there.
Yes.
Okay, what reality? I guess. Sorry about that. Something, I don't know what that is.
Excuse me?
Oh, what I was going to say is, what reality kind of set in to boost your confidence in the Lord as far as operating and healing? How did you renew your mind into, like, having confidence in the Lord to do that stuff?
Man, I was not confident at all in the beginning.
Let me ask you this. Is what is the rich moment when reality set in and you're like, oh, man, you know, I mean, not that, you know, your confidence kind of probably rises more and more as you walk with the Lord, but
yeah.
But where does your, was there any, like, reality that kind of, you got a hold of that really gave you more confidence? Does that make
sense?
That's
a good question. Yes, but I'll be getting to that, like, a little further, because that's when I met kind of Pete Cabrera and attended his school. And
okay,
like,
go ahead.
Okay. I just, like, things started progressing in my life to the point to where I started seeing more things, but the more miracles I'd see, the more questions I'd have. And at this time, like, I came to a conclusion that no one could persuade me that miracles did not exist and God did not heal today. Like, I started having that confidence that it was real. And I started, at this point, when I got to that, like, revelation, I started taking out some of my friends, because at this time I was the only one going out that I knew of, and a lot of people started watching me. And when a miracle would happen, I just posted on social media, like Facebook. And when I started taking people out to see miracles, like, everyone always saw a miracle. It was weird. And I couldn't explain it, because even if it was hit or miss for me, they'd still see one. I don't know. And for about 2 to 3 months, I started to, like, really have, like, a really close relationship with God. And that was the time that I pursued God like I never have before. And the meetings I had to go to, they would encourage me, but the more they try to encourage me, like when I was frustrated with these things, the more frustrated I get. I'd be like, I know I need a rest and stuff, but if I rest, nothing's going to get done and nothing's going to happen. And the more they encourage me, the more frustrated I get. And so it's just like, you guys don't understand. And I came across Pete Cabrera Jr. He's a man of God that has so many videos of people being healed. And to this day, he's my mentor and close friend and family to me. And I started, like, watching his videos, and something was different than him, than everyone else. He would lay his hands on people, and he wouldn't even say anything, and they'd get healed, and he'd have all these creative miracles. And, like, he'd stand by somebody, and someone would get healed. So I was like, what in the world? Like, what's this? Is the guy real? And so I started, like, researching now, because I was a Bible college student, and I was just careful who I listened to. And I couldn't find anything bad about him. I could only find good. So I was like, okay, maybe this guy's legit. And I was watching a video by Tom Loud called The Day I Learned Nothing from Pete Cabrera Jr. And that video changed everything for me. And what it basically was is Tom Loud asked Pete, when he would lay his hands on somebody without saying anything, wouldn't be praying in his head. And Pete said, doesn't pray at all, doesn't think anything. And he just lays hands on him. And that was like the pivotal point for me. After that point, I had confidence. It was no longer hit and miss with miracles. I just lay my hands on people and they would be made well. That was like the end of the story for me. And I pray for 10 people, at least 6 of them would be healed instantly. And I had times where, like, everyone I prayed for would get healed, and then times where no one would get healed. And I understand why that was now for me. And but I didn't at that time. And so as that started, like, have more questions than I could think of. And at that time, I decided to attend Pete Cabrera Jr. School of Identity and Lifestyle. And it's a week-long school. And I ended up going there. And out of the class that I was in, this was in last November, like, no one was seeing miracles at all, like, in that class. Like, they, in the further past background. And I was, like, thinking, like, we can go see one right now. I was seeing them. I just had some questions I needed to get answered. And as I went through the teaching more and more, I realized that I thought I knew my identity in Christ, but I didn't. I didn't know any of it. Because I learned really quickly that I was asking questions I shouldn't be asking. And I always felt like nothing was missing. The reality of it is there's nothing missing. You're just feeling like that because you have not truly understood where you stand in Christ, and it's a growing process for us all. And by day 2, all my questions were answered, and he never even answered any of them. And that's kind of what the teachings do, or what, not the teaching, but what Holy Spirit does, is everyone's at a different place, and he's a teacher. He was just the educator. And there's a part where something really stood out to me. It was about dreams and visions. And basically, I was living a life that I didn't want to live myself. Like, someone else wanted that for me. And, like, I didn't want to be in school. I didn't want to be working. I just wanted to be doing gospel and going out on the streets and helping people and teaching others. And that was a huge turning point for me. And we went out on an outreach during the school, and I really stood out to Pete. It seemed like I still always took the lead in things. It seemed like I was just the natural leader for going out on the streets. And he really took note of that. And we had this time where, and Pete Carrera has a video on his YouTube channel of, I ended up going up to 6 Bible college students and started ministering to them. And some of them had some pain in their arm and ankle, and they started getting healed. And they started getting really excited. And more people would come to, like, wait to be prayed for. And all of a sudden, like, there was this group of 15 to 18 people in the mall. And I started demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ended up giving a message, preaching to them, teaching, and giving them a chance to come to Christ. And it's super amazing. Like, that's never really happened to me before. And after that, Pete took me aside and told me that he wanted to mentor me. And I was like, yeah, I'll come. I'll come live with you. And so that was like a huge, huge point for me. Like, I was going one direction, and God steered me to a completely different direction in my life. And after leaving school, I just lived it out, my confidence. I was so confident in Christ, like, that anyone would be healed that I'd pray for. It wasn't arrogance. It was just, I was confident. No one could sway me in my heart. Like, I was settled. I made that decision not to ask those questions I was asking. Because the reality of it is, you'll always be asking those questions, because our carnal mind is enmity against the things of God, and it can never submit, nor will it. And so, if I could advise anyone that wants to operate in healing sick and just doing it, the more you do it, the more questions you'll have. So it's better to start out being settled in your heart and not allowing yourself to ask those questions, because the reality of it is every minister who walks in it probably has those exact same questions. The difference is, we don't allow ourselves to ask them, because nobody's going to have an answer. And it's just the carnal mind wanting logic and rationale, because it was never designed to understand the spiritual things. And so my confidence, I always wanted confidence, because I saw other ministers, like, so confident, like, you will be healed, and I wanted that. And after the school, I had that. And I started discipling more and more people, and all of a sudden, like, they started this movement where I was in. And I didn't really see the effects until I actually left. But it started, like, a huge shift where I lived, and it was just really amazing to see people started getting fired up and started to see miracles, and it just never stopped.
Amen.
And so that's pretty much a little background of, like, where I came from and how I started operating in the power of God.
That's awesome, Casey. We're going to go right to a song. We'll be right back, and he's going to be able to tell us more about some of the miracles he's seen and how the Lord has really moved through his evangelism ministry. We'll be right back.
Out on me.
everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We're interviewing Casey Johnson. And, Casey, we're going to get right back to your some of the miracles you've seen and some unique things you saw on your evangelism events. Go ahead, man.
All right. I'm going to say two miracles that really stand out to me. And they were, like, really turning points in my life. One of my questions before I attended Pete Cabrera School was, how come it seems like ankles, knees, and anything with bones were easier to get healed than blind eyes and deaf ears? And I started wondering about that, and that was one major reason why I attended Pete School. And the reality of it is there's nothing different, but we all know that. But how can we be settled in the heart with that and start seeing those things? And about a month later, after attending Pete's school, that's when I saw my first deaf ear open ever. And I was at this church service, and I took some of my friends with me, and I ended up getting a word of knowledge, and I was like, hey, like, why don't you guys try to get a word of knowledge too? Let's practice a little bit. And so they thought they got one, and so we went up. And through a series of events, we ended up finding this guy who had, like, his girlfriend had rheumatoid arthritis, something wrong with her knees. And so I started ministering to her, and then one of my friends, Dylan, he was like, do you have something wrong with your ear? And he's like, yeah, I'm deaf in one ear. And I got super excited. And he was like, I know God's going to show up. And I've never seen deaf ear, but I will today. And I asked him, like, to plug his good ear so he couldn't hear at all, and he closed his eyes. And we were at the church service, like, there's music playing, like, it was just an amazing atmosphere. And if I could have gotten it videoed, it would have been amazing. And I just put my hand by his left ear, that was his deaf one, and within 30 or so seconds, I just snapped, and he had his eyes closed, snapped my finger, and all of a sudden, he started breaking down in tears, like uncontrollably. Oh, I can't even speak. Uncontrollably. I can't even say that word, man. And he started, like, crying, like, a lot. And I started going further away, and he still had his good ear plugged and seeing if he could hear. And he nodded his head yes, and he still had his eyes closed. And I asked him, like, is it 100%? And he was like, it's just a little muffled, because he could hear the piano playing. And so I did it again, and it got fully restored instantly. And
amen.
It was just so amazing, and it brought his relationship with his girlfriend, like, so much closer. Like, they both got to witness this. And he was a leader at that church for, like, a small group, I believe. And he ended up telling everybody, which was super amazing. And 4 months later, I ended up running into his girlfriend, and she's completely healed still, and he still had a fully functioning ear, which is, like, super amazing. And it made me realize something, that I wasn't doing anything different. I was doing the same things I was doing with everyone else. And there was nothing different at all. And it wasn't that more power is coming through me. It wasn't any of that. And the reality of it is you'll never have an ounce more power than you do half now, because you already have the fullness. And it was just, like, it was mind-blowing to me, because that was my first, if you want to, all miracles are amazing and impossible, but this, in my mind, this was, like, one of the biggest miracles I've seen. And before I even went to Pete's school, I probably have saw this guy who had complete nerve damage in his whole body. He said 95% nerve damage, and I took out my friend Rachel and Andrew out on the streets, and I was going to walk by this guy, and then Rachel went up to him and was like, "Do I know you?" And they didn't know each other, and he ended up getting hit when he was like 12, like 15 years old, somewhere around 12 to 15, somewhere around there, and he couldn't feel like heat or cold on his skin. Like, he couldn't feel anything. And he said something that really got me. I was like, man, I know God's going to show up. And he said that he just wanted to feel the touch of his son. And it was just, like, very moving. Like, I had so much compassion. And since I was discipling Rachel and Andrew, like, I had them lay their hands on him. And they started, I remember this, they started getting a little, like, fear. Like, they didn't know if it was going to happen, so they asked me, like, to put my hands on them, too. And I was like, all right. And Andrew was like, let's record this, just randomly. And I was like, all right. And we started praying, and within seconds, he started feeling the Holy Spirit's presence, which was weird, because he couldn't feel any feeling. And instantly, he got healed, and he started breaking down in tears. And it was just super amazing. Like, his whole life got changed. And, like, he could feel the cold. He could feel all that now. And he could feel touch. And we ended up posting that video on Facebook randomly, and it went viral. It got over 400,000 views within 4 days. And it just made me realize something, like this is the direction I need to go. God has his hand all over my life for this area. And at that point, that was like the major turning point for another major turning point for me. And so those are, like, there's a lot of miracles. Like, I could go on and on and on, and they're all equally amazing. But those two instances were, like, really stood out for me. And that, and it's not just miracles, it's that, like, if people are going through, like, have a lot of stress, have a lot of burden on them, you can give them freedom from all that. That's another amazing thing, is there's no limits to what you can do. The only limits you have are the ones that you create.
Amen. So, amen. It's awesome for the Lord to take you to a different step in praying and seeing just something like that. And God took one instant that you didn't really know what was going to happen, and they put it on YouTube or something, and the Lord just took it and showed it to everybody what he does for people. And that's very amazing, Casey. But what have you been doing nowadays with your ministry, and what's God been doing to you nowadays?
Pete Cabrera asked to mentor me, like I said a little bit earlier, and I ended up quitting college when I was going through nursing school, and quit my job, and I just moved down with him, and I lived with him for, 7 months. And at first, like, I didn't know, like, I thought I had things figured out, but I was a mess. Like, I didn't have a direction to, like, a really set direction of where I was going to go. And he just told me to, like, rest and just, like, watch him and as he does his schools. And so just for about 2 months, I was just watching and seeing how he was with his family and with the schools and how he ministered to people. And, like, I was watching every movement he'd make. And, like, man, he's become one of the closest people, closest friend that I have. And he's a real deal. Like, he's so transparent and he's so authentic. And he doesn't fluff up things. He'll tell you the way it is. And he told me something that I thought was kind of silly at the time. And he told me to start reading leadership books like John Maxwell. And I was like thinking like self-help books, oh, really, at the time. And then I opened up one and I just got hooked on them. It helped me to think a certain way, a way that I needed to think to be successful in ministry and at such a young age. And like it helped keep me sharp, and I started thinking differently. I started speaking differently. I started having a lot more confidence as a person. And I started like having ideas that I never thought I'd ever have. And to this day, I still read. Like one quote that he told me was, "Leaders are readers," and that's so true. And so we want territory on the outside, yet Holy Spirit's focused on the territory inside. And so you can be doing a lot of things, but if you're not, your life isn't being changed, if you're not being changed internally, then you're going to find that all these things, even if you have a lot of success and a lot of things happen, a lot of miracles happen, it's still going to be so unfulfilling. And that's what God has been working on me through the whole time is I'm young, I'm in ministry, and a lot of people my age are out partying, drinking, and doing all those things. And that's not what I want to do. That's not what I've ever wanted to do. And we've had so many pastors come through the school already. And when you have a lot of people in ministry, already in ministry, and much more wiser and knowledgeable than you, you realize that there's a lot of character things that you need to work on. And so, like, the whole time I've been with Pete, and that's where I still am, is I'm with Royal Family International, that's Pete's ministry, and I help with the schools, and I'm just starting to teach now. And, like, Holy Spirit has just been preparing me for this upcoming year. And my heart is for people, obviously, to be saved, but most of all, that Christians would wake up to walking in signs and miracles, signs and wonders, and just waking up to their identity in Christ. And well, that'll come naturally if you focus on identity. Once you understand that, the fruit will be there. It has to. And I see a lot of people who just want to see miracles get hung up on miracles. Because you always feel like you're hitting a wall. I always felt that way. And that's a good indicator. If you're hitting that wall, you're in the flesh still. Because only flesh hits walls. Spirit goes right through them. And so I was seeking after miracles for a long time. Like, that's all I wanted to see. And then I started, like, realizing, like, I'm going to always feel like I'm coming up short when I do that. And just in rest in the truth that, like, it's just part of who I am. It's part of your nature now in Christ. And that's kind of, like, what's been happening with me with Pete Cabrera. And, like, I'm just, like, from when I first got there till now, like, it's night and day. Like, I'm no longer the same person. My whole life got transformed. Getting a mentor is very, one of the things that I've encouraged is they can see things in you that you don't see yourself, and they can help you and guide you and, like, just sow their life into you, and which is really amazing. And so for this upcoming year, we're taking a team to Kenya, Africa, and we're going to be ministering to a lot of pastors there. and we're going to be running them through the school, a week-long school where we just focus on identity, and then it's all hands-on, and it's all discipleship, where they can ask any question they want, and we're completely there for them. And we're going to give our best. We're going to give our whole life to them. And we'll be transparent and just real with them. And then right after, I'll be going to China. An opportunity opened up, and that's somewhere God has always put, like, a desire in my heart to go towards. And no opportunity opened up till now. And on top of that, we'll still be doing schools. So those are some things that I'll be doing on the side. And we're starting to do mission trips in the United States to major cities. And a guy named Paul Brown, he's interning with Royal Family International as well. And he's one of my, like, closest friends. And him and I are going to be going to these major cities. And I'm telling people, like, if they want to be trained hands-on, like, we'll be there, show up, and we'll be there for you. And so those are some of the things that are kind of happening as well next year on my side of things.
That's awesome. That's awesome how the Lord took you from, you know, he revealed, you know, his presence through you and then let you grow in that. And I really agree with you there where you talk about, you know, some people just chases miracles, and people can run into that, but like I said, it really don't build upon chasing miracles. That ain't what it's really made for. It's, you know, like when Jesus Christ himself, he went from glory to glory when he's walking here on earth. He went from one stage to another stage right in front of everybody. He was just growing. And miracles happen around him. He loved people, and that's one of the reasons, you know, healings manifest, because he loved to see people get healed. He loved to see them to get delivered. He loved to just to be around them, because he was representing the Father, and that's who the Father is. He's love, and a lot of people don't understand that. But it's growing, and once you understand you're growing, not only your miracles get stronger and you see more miracles happen, that you change yourself. And I really feel, you know, when you're going through this process, you need to be going on the process to change you. Not what you can see, but to change you from the inside, because the whole thing is bringing you closer to the Father, not how many legs you can see healed. It's change you and see, and change you inside and see you transformed. And that's what it's all about, is transforming you where you can be a better person and where you can bring more people to the kingdom. If you're out here just doing miracles, and then you're acting like the world, you ain't really showing much. He can bring other people to the kingdom. Yeah, he can heal your leg, but, man, he'll cuss you out afterwards. I mean, that ain't going to work. that ain't going to work out too good there. So, go ahead, Mike.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that the that walking with the Lord is more to do with your surrender, or, just knowledge of how to move with Him? I don't know how to ask that question.
I think I know what you're asking. I think it just came to me believing what He says about me, like really believing it, not just in my mind, but in my heart. I've always struggled with prayer time and reading with the scripture. That's been an area that I've always been weak in. And I know scripture, like, really well. I've been in it my whole life. I've been through Bible school. Like, I've heard of so many different viewpoints and things. And just got to a point of I just needed action. Like, I no longer need to be a hearer. I need to be a doer also. And as I became a doer, I started understanding how Holy Spirit operates with me. He'll speak to people a lot differently. We're all wired different ways. and he hardly ever speaks directly, like, in my heart to me. It was just like, I just know and I just do. And so people would ask me, like, when I'm out on the streets, like, how do you know do that? How do you know this and that? And I was like, I don't know. I just did it. And I realized after a long time of that is that, like, I'm just being myself and I'm trusting Holy Spirit. Like, I'm relying on him. If he doesn't show up, then all this is going to be for nothing. And I think it just is that trust with Holy Spirit, knowing that as long as I'm staying in the right identity in Christ, in the new man, that I'm going to be doing everything that God wants to do in that situation. And obviously, like, I've made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that I've done that I won't do now. And you just grow more and more in it. The more you grow, the more you trust Holy Spirit, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
That helps answer the question.
Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome, man. And one thing that I really heard you there, you said that the Holy Spirit guided you. It ain't like you heard some voice saying, take a left and go right, and there he is. But it was felt like a guidance system, kind of like a guidance system on your car. It goes there because it's programmed in it. And that's, I mean, I basically operate in the same type of thing that I don't know myself. I've always been scared to hear voices, you know, telling me to do something.
Yeah.
I always yearn for the Lord to just take over and guide me, you know. And I've heard a lot of people, it walks in the power. I mean, there's some people that does hear, you know, the Lord speaking all day.
Yeah,
I mean, that's their gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. But, you know, when he's in you, one thing that I've learned is when he's in you, he's a part of you, and then when you allow him to take over, a lot of times we don't allow him to take over. We think we can do it ourselves. But when we stop and we commit and let him say, hey, you know, run the show, Lord, do what you got to do, and let him do things, it happens like that. It's like, he grabs the wheel and guides you instead of having like Earl Jones or whatever saying, please take a left. No, take a right. You know, it's just he's taking the wheel, and that's what happens. And that's really makes it more real when you were saying that. And I was like, hey, I go through that same type of thing there. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is like when they're walking down the street and all of a sudden they feel that urge to go and talk to that guy over there, you know, sitting at the table at the restaurant or something like that. You know, people expect Earl Jones to speak in the top, you know, in the top background somewhere. Stop at that table right there and talk to him. The Lord has a lot to say. I mean, it's not like that. It's not like that.
I want to ask another question.
Go ahead.
Like that word paraclete, one called along beside you. You know, I know God's in you, but like I want to hear what you got to say about like initiation. And I mean, do you always get a leading, or just because you know the Word of God, you act on the hill?
It comes with maturity. Let's think of maturity in the natural. When you're an infant, you're taken care of, you're fed, all your needs are taken care of by your father, by your mother. And as you grow older, you start getting more independent, and you still lean on them, but you start being yourself too as well. And teenager, and then you start getting more and more freedom, and you start learning how to function on your own, still with their guidance. And now when you're an adult, you mature more and more, and you start, you already know what they're values are. You already know what they stand for. You still communicate with them. But now you're still living your life. Like, you're still doing everything that you need to do and you're called to do. And you already know what your parents think. You already know what they're going to say. You've known them for your whole life. You know them so intimately that you pretty much know everything that they're going to say. And to me, that's the same way of how our growth in Christ happens, is that you're always connected to the Father. Yet as you mature more and more, you start understanding like how He thinks and how He is for you. And you're all, He remains the source that you always go back to. Yeah, when you're out doing, you know what He's going to say. You know what He's going to stand for. You know the truths of who He is and His way that His laws are, the kingdom laws. And you just know He's always going to show up regardless. And I would say there's times where you feel led. There's times where I felt led, but very, very rare. It's more so like I just go up and initiate myself. And then all of a sudden, like, it becomes this amazing thing. Like a guy who told God that the night before that, send me someone so I know that you're real. And the next day, I just took a group of people out to the sports store. And I saw this guy had, like, a sprained or, like, a jammed finger, and he had, like, something on it. And started asking, like, what happened? I didn't feel led. I just saw something. I was like, all right, let's go talk to this guy. And I just started speaking and, like just having fun with him, just being myself. And was starting, like, oh, hey, you like this and this. You like baseball. And I started going more and more into his life. And all of a sudden he started crying. And he's like, how do you know all this? And I was like, this is just a sign from God. And he started crying to even more, and he started telling me, like, I asked God for a sign yesterday that someone would come, and I was like, man, I didn't feel led, I didn't feel anything, I was just being myself, being fun, taking people out, just being ourselves, and they all got to see this amazing thing happen. And so I'd say there's times where you feel led, but there needs to be a point of maturity where you no longer need to feel led, that you understand God, what God will say and what He stands for. And you just trust the Christ in you and just go and do it. And I tell people, you'll do more on accident once you truly know who you are than you did on purpose. And that's so true. So my major tip to anyone that wants to go out on the streets and function these things, you don't have to be me. You don't have to be Pete Cabrera. You don't have to be Todd White. Just be yourself, because the authentic you is going to be so much, can do so many things in Christ than I probably could ever do or someone else could ever do. And people need authentic, like, they need to see you as a really authentic person with good morals and, not really moral, like, that's not what I'm trying to say. They just need to see you, like, that you don't want anything from them when you go up to people. And so people can see if you're faking something right away. And you're supposed to be a light to them. And the only way you can be a light is by being yourself in Christ. So if that answers your question, helps.
Yeah, that helps.
I tell people, if you need to feel lead, there's a lead store, and just buy some lead and put it in your pocket so you'll always feel lead.
I mean, way people see things sometimes, they think that, you know, they watch too many movies and they think everything goes like that, like it does in the movies, like a lot of these biblical movies where they hear this big voice up in the air, please go here, and it's not like that, you know. It's you just stepping out, or you feel guided to talk to somebody, and it's actually just that simple. And everybody expects these great things, you know, all these big things to happen for you to go and do something, and it's just, you feel led, go. If you see somebody sick, go pray for them. I mean, it's that simple. And it's just, you know, just doing the action is what the church is needing to do now. Just go out in the street and preach Jesus and build the kingdom. And you know, a lot of people expect, you know, these big buildings. We all supposed to go to church, but the church is actually in us. And we're the church. And when we're amongst people talking, we're creating church. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot. And, you know, and I've seen, you know, when you went through your process and the process you're going through, you learned that. And I'm pretty sure, Casey, every place is your church, ain't it?
Yep.
Yep.
And this is one thing that I've realized is that the greatest miracles that you look back at now, it didn't feel like they were the greatest at the time. And so, like, now when I look back and just think of, like, everything that God's done, it was like when it actually happened, it was just normal. But now I look back and I was like, man, that was crazy what just happened there.
That's awesome. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more, you know, a lot more things to come. And I'm sure the Lord has a lot planned, you know, for you and your ministry. And you know, you was just talking about a dream earlier when we was on break. And, you know, the Lord will enrich you in more things as you go, as he does everybody. And, you know, and it's awesome that Pete saw that in you and pulled you amongst his team and started training you. And that's awesome right there. Just he takes you and show you that it's your everyday life. And it's not just, you know, when you're up on stage or when you're praying for people, it's your everyday life. You reflect that in your life, around your family, around your friends. That's just being real. And that's one great thing to do there, and to really, you know, mentor somebody and show them that that's how your lifestyle is, and that's, you know, how that goes. And it's actually good for a young man too, to show him how to be in his life and how to mentor his family when he has one. And it's awesome all together there.
Yeah, I got to see the way family functions and runs, and I never knew that. I never saw that. So when I get married, like, I've learned a lot just by watching Pete and his family, and it's just amazing because everything that I felt like I was lacking, I started to, like, have understanding, and God's been just teaching me, like, character, and, like, I no longer have fears about any of that. And when you grow up with no parents, you don't really get to see, like, what a family looks like or how a family is. So it's been an incredible opportunity for me. I'm really blessed by it.
Now, Casey, if anybody want to get in touch with you or know more about your ministry and all that good stuff, how can they get in touch with you, man?
Okay. I have Facebook, YouTube, and my own website. My website is caseyjohnson.net, C-A-S-U-I, then just Johnson. And my YouTube, just type in www.youtube.com/caseyjohnson, then kingdom. And it'll direct you straight to my page on YouTube, where you'll see a lot of videos, and I try to upload as often as I can. And as well as Facebook. So those are the main ways to reach me. And my email is kc@royalfamilyinternational.com. That's also another way of getting contact with me. That's more, I check that every single day, so that's more of a way to get hold of me. And if you want to attend the school, if the School of Identity and Lifestyle, if you feel like that's where, like, God's put a desire in your heart to come, Just go to www.royalfamilyinternational.com and click on the link of School of Identity and Lifestyle. So
that's awesome, man. And check that out. And you know, if you got the Lord guides you there, you know, I'm pretty sure they have schools all year long. If one month ain't good, just wait to another month that, you know, is available. And
we actually do. It's 2 a month usually.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you get to, you know, learn, go through a training, and then they take you on the street and really show you what that, you know, that identity is all about. And stuff. A lot of people that I've known that went through it,
discipleship.
Yeah. Awesome.
Like one-on-one and just being able to hang out with each other and fellowship. That's the best part of it.
Amen. I know a lot of people went through it and they really enjoyed the school and really learned a lot from you guys down there. And it's real awesome, man, just to have a school like that where you can go to. I mean, I don't know many schools that's like that. I know they got Power and Love and all that, but it's more of a weekend thing, but a whole week where you can actually soak, and it's awesome, man.
Yeah, I've never seen another like it.
Yeah.
At all.
It's really unique.
Open
really
access
unique.
To all the teachers, and like, we're there for you guys. We're just educators. Holy Spirit's the teacher. If it was up to us, no one would get anything. The Holy Spirit's amazing, and He's going to give everything you need. So,
Amen. I'd like to ask everybody, whoever is interested in a lot more of these shows here on the Healing Light, just go to, you can check out Reverend Stan Healing Light Show on search, and it'll take you straight to our shows. We've got over 198 shows we've done. Check out any show that you are drawn to listen to. We've interviewed a lot of people over the years, and a lot of people that deals in the power of God, that teaches and preaches all type of different things. And we have different shows on Wednesdays where we just preach the Word of God. And we had Doug Perry on Wednesday night from Fellowship of the Martyrs, and he was teaching and talking about hearing God, and he's real strong in that area. And we had him talking about how he hears God. He hears Him audible. So he has a unique gift. But it's awesome just to hear different things and hear what God does with people. I mean, God uses everybody differently. And none of them is the same. It's everybody's different. And I've actually realized that over years and actually brought people that works in these different gifts. Maybe there's somebody that works in that same type of gift out there that this show can help. So just check out these shows and help represent the Healing Light and share them and just let people know about us. And, you know, it'll bless other folks and bless us. And we thank everybody that listens to them. And we do got the Healing Light Show on Facebook. You can check that out. We got the Healing Light Road Show on Facebook. We do go out and do conferences. We're going to try to do 3 this year. So be looking forward to that a little bit in February, January. We'll start announcing all the conferences we're going to do. We're just going out to touch the people, to you know, pray for the sick, and just preach the Word of God to people, let them know what we do, what we represent, and whatever God wants us to do in that city. So that's kind of what we do, and it's been a pleasure to have you on here today, Casey. And,
thank you.
And maybe we can have you again on here some other time.
Awesome. I love it. It's been great and a great opportunity. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And I'd like to say God bless everybody, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
Be empty inside. You wanna be someone, laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, you wanna be whole, you wanna have purpose inside, you wanna have virtue and purify your mind, you wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire, this is my return, this is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my